Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Did you wake up to Sonny and Cher's I Got You, Babe on your radio alarm this morning like in the movie Groundhog Day? It does feel like we've been here before with news, again, that Democrats in Washington will make a deal any day now with Republicans to swap an extension of unemployment benefits for an extension of the tax cuts for the very rich. But the New York Times is reporting that in anticipation that the Bush-era tax cuts may not be extended to the very wealthy as well as to the middle class, Wall Street has been maneuvering to avoid an increase. This might be one of the best pay years ever on Wall Street, and executives are reportedly poised to move up those big January bonuses to this month so that they won't have to pay higher taxes if tax rates for the wealthy don't go up, or rather do go up next year. Louise Story is the lead writer on today's report in the New York Times. Louise, you write, everyone is watching Goldman Sachs. Why?
Well, Goldman always sets the tone for pay on Wall Street. You know, keep in mind that these banks, there are few things that the very top executives spend as much time on as they do plotting out their bonus pools. For a couple months leading up to the end of the year, they're coming up with all sorts of policies about how much can they pay themselves and how much can they pay their workers. And this year there's been this new wrinkle, and the wrinkle is, should we pay it early? Should we pay it early to help our employees save money on taxes because they may have lower rates this year than next year?
And you, the Times, talked to people from other companies other than Goldman Sachs who said, hey, if Goldman Sachs does it, we have to do it because we don't want our workers to get upset.
That's right. You know, I talked to a number of other bank executives at competitors of Goldman, and they're kind of letting Goldman stick its neck out first.
Well, let's have some context here. New Yorker writer John Cassidy was on the program last week. He reminds us that in 2008, of course, Wall Street had record losses with the crash. Then came the bailout with the cheap, low-interest taxpayer money that was given to Wall Street. And by 2009, Wall Street posted record profits. And so this past January 2010, you know, the bonuses for 2009, Wall Street gave out bonuses totaling $20.3 billion. Are you saying this year they're poised to do even better?
It looks like they may do better, or at least as well as they did last year, a record year. What you're seeing is the government stepped in and helped these banks stay standing, but some other ones fell, and so there's less competition on Wall Street now. So the banks that survived have survived stronger and with more business, and that's why they're making more money now.
Give us an example of, let's say, the average bonus. You take $1 million for an example. I know several people just fainted, but that's sort of a low bonus on Wall Street. What would be the tax break savings? In other words, if the Bush-era tax cut isn't extended for the very wealthy, what would somebody making $1 million bonus have to pay in extra in taxes?
Roughly, for every $1 million, that's another $46,000 in taxes they would pay next year. So, you know, it's the purchase of a luxury car.
Well, this is what some people who are in favor of extending the tax cuts for the very rich say, that maybe that will be a new Lexus. Or, as John Cassidy says, after last year's bonuses, homes were suddenly selling in the Hamptons for $5 million that hadn't been selling before because this was bonus money going for second homes. Doesn't that stimulate the economy?
That's definitely the argument of a lot of Republicans, that you give people more money and they'll spend more money. The CBO did a report earlier this year that showed that spending goes up, but it's not dollar for dollar. If you give people more money, they'll spend more money, but they'll also save more money. So all of these tax extensions may help the economy, but it's not going to all be spent right away.
Well, and of course, those who are in favor of only extending the middle class tax cuts say that that's the kind of money that gets spent at the five and dime store, gets spent on small businesses, that goes further through the economy than, let's say, one new house does. But executives on Wall Street seem to be aware of public opinion about these huge bonuses so soon after a government bailout. They might call them something else?
They have been immensely worried about another public backlash, you know, because if there's any major public outcry, it puts them at risk of, you know, further reform. And so they're talking about, how can we call this something other than a bonus? You've seen banks all year long paying out midsummer amounts or boosting salaries or coming up with other categories like long-term incentives where they can put the money instead because they know bonus is a bad word. And so you can expect to see in the next month The bonus figure is maybe not looking quite as large, but when you add in all these other things, the total comp is humongous.
Well, what about regulation of compensation? Wasn't there supposed to be some way of addressing Wall Street compensation with the new, albeit watered-down, Dodd-Frank Wall Street reform?
You know, most of that is over now. While the companies had bailout funds, you had that compensation czar who oversaw their pay. But when they returned the bailout money, they were back on their own. So the Federal Reserve is looking at this a little. They're imposing some rules. But for the most part, the banks can do as they see fit again.
Well, but on the other hand, I mean, if this money doesn't go to the workers on Wall Street, where would it go? Presumably, it would go to the shareholders. And wasn't there some element where shareholders were supposed to be able to vote on salaries?
They did make some changes on say-to-pay practices that did give shareholders more power. But, you know, a lot of those rules focus on how much just goes to the very top executives, the top five. What's different on Wall Street versus other public companies is you have people 500 deep, even down to 1,000 people deep in the company, often making over $1 million.
What about clawback provisions? We understand that some companies are promising bonuses but not paying them out for a year or so to see if the actions of the employee were actually profitable or were just smoke and mirrors.
That's right. Those policies could be very promising, but I'm watching very carefully to see if any banks actually use these policies because, of course, you know, a rule is empty and powerless if no one ever uses it. So I have my eye on that and stay tuned.
Louise Story, who also has her eye on, in fact, broke the story of how many big Wall Street firms were thinking of moving their bonuses up from January to December. I mean, isn't it the assumption that those tax cuts are going to be extended?
It does look now like there's a deal being worked out, but it does say something to us about Wall Street and about people who make millions of dollars in bonuses. They're thinking about how to pay $40,000 less in taxes. And that's why we wrote the story.
Louise Story, financial reporter for The New York Times, thank you.
Thank you.